going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's 8:02 right now. Let's welcome in the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, did the Browns find a diamond, or did they step in it again by drafting Shedeur Sanders?
I think they might have stepped in it again.
Oh.
We don't know. I mean, you're taking a shot, fifth-round pick, no harm there. If you find a diamond, great. If it doesn't work out, well, not that big of a deal.
Well, you said they stepped in it. Would you often step in it for a fifth-round pick?
Yeah, well, I just don't know why you take Dylan Gabriel if you end up with Shedeur Sanders. It makes no sense to me.
Because they really liked one, and then, well, we don't know what made the decision for the other. No, a lot of people are drawing a lot of conclusions on that, though.
Yeah, it's
the same conclusion.
It's exactly what I'd been saying they'd probably do, and that's throw stuff against the wall and hope something stick. And, well, they certainly did that during the draft.
Okay. Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So, how would you put the depth chart together right now? Do you rank the quarterbacks in terms of starter on the cusp of being cut?
Well, I would go Joe Flacco starter, Kenny Pickett backup, Shedeur Sanders third quarterback. You cut Dylan Gabriel, put him on the practice squad.
Going to cut a third round QB?
Yeah. Guy's 5'11", Ken.
Then why take him in the third round, Daryl? Then why take him in the third round? Why take him number 94 overall?
I have been asking that question since they made the selection.
Throws the ball through the wall.
Makes no sense to me. Yeah, good luck getting the ball over the offensive line.
All right, Daryl, good God.
No, he's shorter than Baker Mayfield. Remember the conversations we had about Baker?
No, they all run together.
Okay.
Go ahead, Tone. Take it away. Now I'm annoyed. I'm mad.
Well, obviously the Gabriel thing has been confusing to a lot of people, other than it seems like for them to take him where they took him. They overdrafted him completely and felt better than any of the pundits I saw talk about this and probably the other NFL teams. So with that said, doesn't it seem like there's a bit of a confrontation that could be around the corner? Because obviously, one faction had Dylan Gabriel. There's another faction somewhere in that organization who was sitting in that draft who wanted Shedeur Sanders.
Well, I don't know if they wanted Shedeur Sanders. I think that the opportunity just presented itself and they jumped on it. That's just my take on it. Because if they wanted Shedeur Sanders, I don't think that they would have waited till the 144th selection. I mean, did they really look like they wanted him when you saw the video?
No, obviously. Obviously did not. Okay. My question is, it's one thing to throw a couple of names on a depth chart. It's another thing once camp starts. And, I mean, rookie minicamps right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Then when you get the veterans in and you have actual training camp and there's only so many reps to go around,
I know.
How does that actually work in principle?
I have no idea. I asked Kevin Stefanski. I mean, look, the pie is getting divided, and the slices are thinner and thinner now. Started off as a two-man race, then it went to a three-man. Now we got a four-man competition. So it will be fascinating to see how Kevin Stefanski handles this. And if it's truly a four-man competition, or are they going in, even though publicly they said, yeah, everybody got a shot to compete, that's what we do here. Or are they going in privately knowing who they want their starter to be? Or their primary competitors, you know, maybe it's really a two-man competition. You know what I'm saying? I can't imagine, though, that they want to put either of these rookies on the field right away. So that's why I think it's good. I think Flacco beats out Kenny Pickett. You know, you can't cut Shador because someone will claim him on waivers. You can cut Dylan Gabriel, because I don't think anybody's going to want him, and then you can get him on your practice squad.
Well, you just think Dylan Gabriel sucks, don't you?
Look, you know what I feel they did with that pick?
What?
Ken, they looked at box scores and like, man, this guy throws for a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns, and yeah, let's take him. I don't think 5'11 quarterbacks work in the NFL.
They went to Eugene and visited the guy.
I know, it's great. I just don't think 5'11 quarterbacks work in the NFL.
Well, clearly you don't.
So, Daryl, then, how do you feel?
Ken, I'm taller than him. I don't work in the NFL.
Well, you don't work in the NFL because you're not a good athlete.
Well, I'm just saying, though. Like,
I'm taller than him, too. You want me to play quarterback for the Browns?
No, but I don't know. Maybe you can play some left tackle.
No, because I'm in bad shape. And I was never a good athlete either. Go ahead, Dilemma.
Daryl, the stuff that has come out about how dreadful Shador was working with coaches, whiteboard stuff. Now, obviously, it's a lot of anonymous sourcing.
Yeah, put your name on it. If you're going to say stuff like that, put your name on it.
But the fact that he dropped where he dropped, I mean, couldn't be that far from the truth, right?
I just have a problem with how all that went down. And it's not a new development. We see this, it feels like, every year, where you have one or two quote-unquote anonymous sources that basically dump all over a guy. And I just feel like if you get – and this is – I'm talking before the draft. I'm not talking like after the draft where it's like, okay, this is why he dropped and whatnot. I'm talking before the draft where you got people going after a guy the way they did Shador. And my thing is, if you're going to trash a guy, then put your name on it. You know, and look, I'm sure that there's something there. There's clearly a reason why he went in the fifth round. There's clearly a reason why the Browns made six selections before they moved back in to go get him. And we can, you know, and obviously we're going to speculate on what maybe those reasons are. You know, did he not nail the interviews? Was he not good doing the whiteboard recall? Did he walk in wearing a bunch of jewelry and you know, whatever, and that, you know, put people off? I don't know. I wasn't in the room, but I've read everything that has been said about this kid. He seemed fine on the conference call. He didn't sound arrogant. He didn't sound entitled or anything like that. I will just say this, Anthony. I hope he comes to Cleveland. And he comes with the right attitude and a little bit of a chip on his shoulder to prove everybody wrong. And the Browns end up with their version of Tom Brady from the fifth round of the draft. I mean, that's what you hope for there. And then Andrew Berry will be a genius for waiting that long to take him. And Browns fans will be happy because they got their long-lost franchise quarterback. But do I expect that to happen? Absolutely not. Am I going to be upset if Shador Sanders doesn't turn into that? Absolutely not, because, again, they took a shot here. They took a shot with a fifth-round pick, and I have no issue with that, and that's what you do when you're looking for a franchise quarterback. You take chances.
Well, you have a problem with the third-round pick, though, clearly.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy, and no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With Dylan Gabriel, which it does make me wonder. It's like, nah, I don't want to even say that in the interview, but I'm going to say it in the interview. So they took Dylan Gabriel. They clearly like Dylan Gabriel enough to take him in the third round. And everybody's saying, well, the owner made the pick in the fifth round, which I can't say yes, I can't say no right now. Right. I mean, I've said that he did it with Johnny Manziel, certainly.
I was told Jimmy didn't make the pick.
You were told he did not?
Yes. I was told that was an Andrew Berry selection.
Boy, Andrew Berry looked thrilled to make his own selection, didn't he?
Well, Ken, I'm just relaying the information I was told. That's all I'm doing here.
Maybe he's telling the truth then that it wasn't synced up. Maybe he said he was just tired. I don't know.
Look, I mean, Andrew looked like he was being held hostage. Kevin Stefanski gave the golf clap on the 17th green. It did not look like they were excited, did not look like they felt like they got the steal of the draft, right? There was no high-fiving, there was no hugging, there was no, yeah, our day is... They weren't even excited, their day was done, Ken. It was the last pick they made.
Because I think the messaging was, even if they were there and they took him, and they were like, okay, let's take him, let's see what we have, they knew that it was going to be
a circus
coming around. Whether Shador wants to make it out to be a circus or his dad wants to make it out to be a circus or not, he knew that...
Or the media wants to make it out to be a circus.
Well, the media is going
to
make it a circus. The circus is in town now. All right.
No, but hey, listen.
I'm the carnival barker.
I said this yesterday about the Browns. Not very good at football, but boy, they're great for content.
Well, you
they
wonder,
really
well,
are.
If they're not
going to
be that good this year, I might as well have some fun. This is fun.
I know, but you know what I'm saying, Ken. I mean, starting going all the way back to Johnny Manziel through the Baker thing, then the DeJuan thing, and now we got Shador Sanders, like. I mean, it would be nice if they were really great at football, but like you said, if they're not going to be great at football, they might as well be good for content.
Because I don't want to put it in anybody's ears, but I'm going to where it's like, all right, did they take Dylan Gabriel? They're like, they like Dylan Gabriel. Dane Brugler had Dylan Gabriel going 135 to the Dolphins because they're both lefties, they're both not that big. And I'm thinking, did they take him like, okay, there's no way we can take another quarterback. We'll fix this wagon right now and we'll take Dylan Gabriel, and then the fifth round comes around. It's like, oh, you think we can't, but oh, we will.
Ken, we were in the middle of a press conference with the three of the kids from Friday night. I never seen a press conference wrap up faster.
When they made the pick, that's what you guys were doing?
Yeah.
Wow.
We were in the middle of a press conference with Quinshon Judkins, Harold Fannin, and Schlesinger.
Yes.
They were all sitting up there, and the trade happens, the pick happens, and there's awkward silence in the room because everyone's like, what just happened? And, you know, someone then says, oh, okay, so I guess the Browns just took Shador Sanders. Hey, what do you think about that? And then I think there were maybe one or two questions got asked after that, and that was a wrap. We all had to get to work because we're all like, what just happened? So, Andrew Berry gave us three very big what just happens during that draft.
It was true. We were at the bar, Lyme and I were, and everybody was watching the Cavs game, and after that pick was made, I was like, man, Kenny Atkinson and Eric Spoelstra could have started fist fighting each other at center court, and nobody would have noticed.
Hey, I saw the Super Bowl Super Browns video. Well done, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. I was sober, by the way, all you people calling us drunks.
I don't know. You looked a little red in the face there, Ken.
I'm always red in the face. I'm getting all loud.
Are they going to credential like the well-off media, the Deion Sanders production company? Are they going to be like rookie minicamp next week?
I don't know, but like it was a tsunami of Shador Sanders posts on Brown's social media. Like it wasn't just like a couple. I mean, it just became a massive tidal wave of. And I get it. He's Shador Sanders. And I'm sure they're selling a lot of jerseys right now. I think four Buy Browns tickets emails in my inbox after the pick. So clearly they're ready for Shador Sanders out there at 76 Lucrosa Boulevard. We'll see if Shador Sanders is ready for the National Football
Do we think
League.
Sanders is selling tickets right now?
I don't know if he's selling.
Where do you have him on the depth chart again?
I have fourth.
I have him as the third quarterback because I don't think you can cut him and get him through waivers to the practice squad.
How could you not? He went fifth round. Clearly the NFL doesn't like him except for you. How could you not get him through waivers to the fifth round if you cut him after camp?
Well, I'm just making educated guesses here, Ken.
Oh, okay.
You're asking for my thoughts, so I'm just making educated guesses.
I'm just arguing with you.
I would love to if somebody actually went out and bought Browns tickets.
I mean, I think if Shedeur Sanders is available on the waiver wire, someone's going to claim him.
I don't know about that, considering they just went five rounds without claiming him. I mean, once you get to the fourth round, it's kind of like, all right, this guy could play, he could not play. Once you get to the fifth round, it's like, this guy might not even make the team. And that's with a lot of guys. So I could see a lot of teams going, okay, do we want to take him now? And the Browns were willing to do so. But, I mean, they waited five rounds to take the guy.
They made six picks before they traded for him. I get it, but I'm just saying that a little name recognition might help him on the waiver wire. That's all.
Darryl, what did you think of them going linebacker at 33rd overall?
Okay, I lied. That was the fourth surprise moment of the draft, but I love the pick. And I think, too, and I talked about this on the show yesterday, Andrew Berry told us a lot. You know, when he speaks, he doesn't lay his cards on the table. He does that with his actions. And I think that what he's telling us is that they are insulating themselves if JOK is not going to be able to contribute the way he's been able to contribute before. But I like Schlesinger a lot. I think he's a really good player. I was surprised at 33 that's the direction they went, but I don't hate the pick.
I was too. Somebody remarked to me earlier in the afternoon, they were like, I think the Browns are really interested in a nice off-ball linebacker. And I was like, what? I go, nah, he's messing with me. And then sure as hell, they took an off-ball linebacker. But I will admit I'm open-minded to it because of the Big Ten teams that are out there. I only saw a handful of UCLA games. And, you know, you're paying attention to other things. He pops up, but it wasn't a name that I highlighted in my Phil Steele book. Yeah. So, you know, I'll see how it goes. I think that it's exactly what you said. I just don't, just because I didn't make a big deal about him doesn't mean that I think that he's going to be garbage. I want to see what he is. He seems to have a really good attitude. And I know that he was a locker room leader, that you need some guys that are going to police the locker room eventually. Now he's
and
a rookie.
And in a tough spot out there in UCLA, too. I mean,
exactly.
You know, that new program coach went through some stuff.
Yes, and, yes,
and,
yes, yes.
And also, too, them drafting two running backs, Junkins, 36th overall, and then Sampson in the fourth round. Again, Andrew Berry's not going to come out and say we're not bringing back Nick Chubb, but I think Andrew Berry told you this weekend the odds of them bringing back Nick Chubb just got a lot slimmer.
Were you happy to have Harold Fannin Jr. here?
I like the pick. I really think that's a good, solid pick. I'm really happy that they picked him, and I think Kevin Stefanski is going to be able to really develop his game a little bit here because we know how much Kevin loves those tight ends.
All right, Darryl, we'll talk to you on Friday. All the best.
You bet, guys. Have a great week.